Everybody, welcome to the Punch Bowl. It's Friday night, and it's good to be here with you guys. I'm super stoked. This is William Rapillum, of course. Before we go any further, please go to Republic Broadcasting and donate whatever you can. All right, it's very important to keep free speech alive. You know, everybody says this over and over. But we have to say it over and over because, you know, we need funds to keep the music going. And I shouldn't say we because I only donate. I don't accept money and I've never been offered any. I don't do it for that reason. But the station needs money to keep going because some of these folks, it's all they do. They're completely dedicated. So I want to shout out to our station manager, Mike, and Sam and Frank and Julie. And you guys are awesome and really appreciate you and doing a great job. And it's you're like family, you know. It's really – and it's an honor to be here on the station. And tonight was John Stadtmiller it was the last National Intel Report. And Mike Gatti hosted it. And I called in to pay my respects because on Wednesday I was – detained by Rothschild Incorporated and taken away in a black van long enough so Rothschild could broadcast on my show. So I don't know whether to apologize to you for that or just laugh about it. I mean, I was only taken away for long enough for them to do the show. And, you know, I wasn't harmed or anything. So, and I was made to listen to the show the whole time, too, while it was playing. So that was kind of odd to listen to those chicken swingers and listen to the laughter of these chicken swingers. And can you, whatever the... They sound like they have conch shells in their mouth. I guess that's all I could think, you know, a conch shell. I was like, this is the only thing that comes to my mind. It's like, how do you get a laugh like that? I don't know where that comes from. I guess you have to swing 20 chickens to get a conch shell laugh. I don't know what it takes to develop that habit. Not going to call it a skill, but those chicken swingers on the Wednesday night show were certainly having, they sure were reveling in there and bragging and boasting, like, you know, like what the Jewish parasites you know, murderers and genocidal maniacs could care less about people in the world. I you know, came across somebody not just in early October. It was just after the October, after just after the Jews began to genocide the Palestinians. This person was just like, oh, just wipe them all off, wipe them out, you know, turn them into glass, turn Gaza into, and. How does a person get to? I don't think, you know. It just I don't know. It doesn't baffle my mind that they're like that, but it doesn't really matter, right? It's just an indication and a sign of a real, real, real psychopathy amongst Jews that just pervades Jewishness. And so, you know, this isn't racist to say this. No? It's not racist to say this because we're exposing racism. This is exactly the problem. This is racism, this Jewish racism, which happens in every single aspect of Jewishness. I don't know if there are, I mean, there's probably, of course there's always exceptions, but for the most part, you have Jewish Zionists or you have Jewish Bolshevik international, you know, the left wing ones, even though the Zionism is left wing too, because it's based in Trotsky and Lenin, who were very left and overthrowing Russia and establishing communism. So those neoconservatives, you know, that head up the conservative movement, also very left. Also the establishment of the Republican Party. And I learned this from Mike Gatti. And Abraham Lincoln was the very close ties to Karl Marx. Lincoln was I guess the pen pals with Karl Marx. So and you just think about that time of that Abraham Lincoln around 1860, right? He was up and coming. His comeuppance wasn't too far away from when Communist Manifesto was first written. Now I don't know what Gier Kapital and Das Kapital. Now those are the two gigantic, huge books, right? The Communist Manifesto is just a little teaser. It's just a little pamphlet book. Take you an hour or two or 3 hours to read it, and that's what it's meant to do. It's just a little intro to communism, something for the layman to read. Now, if you want to get a headache, you can go read the books by Marx and Engels, Kapital and Das Kapital. You'll have a headache in the first five pages of it, I promise you, because it's drivel. It's all intellectual nonsense, run-on sentences that go on forever and just are a pain to listen to and have no grounding in anything that makes any sense. Or perhaps I'm just, maybe I'm just, nah, it's not me. Well, you know what tonight I'm going to do is get into, I got to check my messages here. I'm getting some messages from Mike. I got Reb in Colorado. And Reb, if you want to jump in here and talk about Air America. So if this is what Jeremy was really wanting to ask you about, because you mentioned Reb. Reb, are you there?
Yeah, and I know one of the operators of that by accident.
Hang on, Reb.
A link.
Wait. Before you start, let me just try to compartmentalize this discussion a little bit. So you mentioned being in the 229 last night, helicopter. I think that's the chopper unit, right? Was that right? I looked that up and I saw it was a chopper
regiment. Everything they did was air cavalry. It was gunships and blasting away 1Ds, but they had AH-1G. That was safer because it had armor and it had mortars and FFBs and you could pound the enemy. But the 1D, it had holes in it from those 50s that they rolled up on us. They're bad, and you have to stay above the treetop and always use FFBs with nails so you can nail them.
Okay. Well, Rev, I imagine so you spent a lot of time in the helicopter, right?
Well, I spent a lot of time in the evac hospital, too. I got blasted out of this. It was a mess. And so I spent 7 weeks. That's why I got upgraded from 10 to 100% by the Secretary of the Army because we're U.S. Pentagon First Team Bow Scout Rep. So that evac hostel was bad news. Too many LZs. It's better to do beer runs. But you still got to have gunners because they shoot at everything.
And okay. When you, so you were in a helicopter that was like had gunners in it, and but pretty much they all, right? You had to have a gunner on every helicopter, right?
Yeah. The Joy gunner was a 60, and the 7.62s, they were down on the skids, and so was the pods for the FFBs because it was a gunship. And the other ones, they filled up with people. But sometimes they could put people in there that are painted up. Drop out of formation. Tell them you're having rotor problem. Tell them you're splitting the rotor. Tell them anything you want. Put these people at this point. Don't ask questions. If they're painted up, you know what? They're assassins. And so the special forces right. would use the help.
So a lot of guys don't want to talk about their experience there because what I've come to understand is that the reason why guys don't want to talk about their experience in Vietnam is because of what the American government had them do, right? The kind of genocide.
By the way, I learned about this before I ever was in the Army, and they had it in 1965. This is where I learned most of my stuff about getting rid of people. It was called North American Adolescent Co-Ed Summer Boarding Camps of the mid-1950s through the mid-1960s. I had a job, I was at the university, so I had a summer job at the boathouse. Supposed to throw someone a like round thing if they're drowning, on the lake. And I didn't do much. But they had these creepy people come. He was on his 101st Airborne. And he rolled along Highway 1, and he's mean and little. I mean, I don't know, Special Forces. He said he got wounded, and he was on leave or something. He was going to go back. And this was early days after the buildup of 1965. And Mac, he was in Saigon, but he would roll along Highway 1 on the coast. And up and down the coast was the 50s on his a Jeep in those days, and he said he got wounded, but he come to the center, and he put on a show. He was talking about killing people with piano wire, his special forces and twigs, and he knew how to do stuff. So one day, those Adirondack chairs, and he was going to put on a little demonstration. He took two-by-four boards, and he laid them on the armrests of two Adirondack chairs.
Red.
And he, yeah.
Rev, let me, sorry to interrupt you, but let me ask you. So, you're talking about when you were in this camp was in Highway 1. So was that in California?
No, I just was at a summer camp and they for some reason from the middle,
they were grooming you already for, they were grooming you. Is what you're saying? They were grooming you to be a killer?
You got it. They were crazy people. They were in the Rangers in the WW War. It was like the old people, they wanted to get rid of me all the time. Hey, you're going for the summer. And I lived in the weeds anyway. So they'd stick me in various these camps out there. And they're, all around America, out in the woods. And that's, hey, you think we'll...
Brad, let me ask you something real quick.
Grooming. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Well, my first kind of when I learned about Vietnam, I think I was about 12 or 13, and I was watching Uncommon Valor. It was just a replay on TV. And then I really liked the movie a lot. And so that's kind of what I learned a little bit about Vietnam. And that was my education on Vietnam. I mean, we learned about it, and then Platoon came out shortly after, right around that same time. And we saw that, they had to go into villages and they were liquidating villages of women and children. And so, I mean, I get it why nobody wants to talk about it, but I don't know. You seem pretty open about talking about it, but I don't know. Maybe there's probably a lot you've seen that you'd rather not discuss.
Oh, blown up heads and guts, no. But the VBAC hospital, that wasn't a good time. and I could walk out the door anytime I wanted with a drip bag. I was there, Bob. So I walk out, even the first day, and I say, oh, I don't want to go outside, because that wasn't a good town either. It wasn't, welcome to our town. It's just made for you, white boy. They didn't like us there. Anyway, so I hung out there, and
I'm not sure where that was. Where are you talking about?
Downtown Saigon. Hope visited...
Downtown Saigon? What were you doing there? Oh, in Saigon. That was...
Riding in the hospital.
Yeah.
But it was better than out in the weeds. Or, you know, Ann Key was good.
Yeah, in America we were invaders. I mean, it didn't... The whole thing that was going on there was all this... Was pretty much BS. I mean, the North and the South. And was like, oh, let's... an excuse to use the leftover weapons from World War II. They need to get rid of those, so they had another war, Vietnam.
No, they had newer stuff, not like today, but they handed the M14s to the Marines. The Army didn't want them. They wanted a lighter one that jammed a lot. That wasn't a good idea. The jamming of that M1 was the M16. That's the one they modeled the Bushmasters after today, the .223 guns, the 5.56 caliber, that kind of thing.
That's the AR-15, .223 and the 5.56.
Yeah, right? It's actually lighter than that. They used to have the .45 automatic. So they said, you want one? It was so heavy, I wasn't going to carry it. It weighs you down. Plus, you have six banana clips anyway. The M16's lighter. You grab that and hope it works. If you're down in the weeds and the thing hit with the advancing blade. See, when they put you in, you could see the model helicopter I started with in the movie The Green Berets. I only noticed it on the Internet. It's called dailymotion.com, John Wayne Green Berets, that I never really watched, but I was watching them land at a California airfield with the old Globemaster. I was going to talk about that with Air America, the Globemaster, but they rolled out on the apron of the, it would just come in supposedly into Vietnam. This was before the buildup they made that movie. That's the only time John Wayne was in a Vietnam, he might have been another Vietnam movie, but he was never in Vietnam. Bob Hope was, but what I'm saying is behind that rollout of the C-130, the old Globemaster, the old one, there was the Hillers. They said, hey, that's a helicopter. It got like a 30-degree tail boom, and it's a real tough helicopter. You can bounce it around. That's better than the Bell 47, which I did fly.
Are you telling us about Air America right now?
Yeah, that was also the C-130 Globemaster.
There's types of... different types of planes and helicopters right now.
Well, they use the Globemaster exclusively because the man...
What's a Globemaster?
Now the C-17, they call it the C-17. That's a MACV plane, and that's called a Globemaster. It's a jet, you know, it's a big one for transporting
cargo planes. Yeah.
Yeah. And the C-130J model, according to the people, I don't follow this stuff. I called JARB Dobbins, Georgia, because I was interested in the AC-130 gunship. And I made buddies, because someone who was in Vietnam, his name was Bob Landreth. He's on our LinkedIn page. It's hard to find the Bow Scout. It's called Bow Scout Rev Element on LinkedIn. It's the only one with our Vulture Squadron emblem. They wrote to me, they said, don't you have a picture? I said, don't talk to us. You got a problem, talk to the Joint Chiefs. So they let me have that. It's a professional site called LinkedIn, and we got Army Special.
LinkedIn. Well, Reb, we're up against the break now. Thank you for calling in.
I'll tell you about Air America, how I ran into that when we get back.
Okay, I'll keep you on until the next break. All right. Right back.
Do you wonder where you're going? Where to be? Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung K, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Had a transistor radio, and I stuck it in the tree, and they were playing that song on the radio. I remember it was on the other side of my backyard. I just remember that moment, and I was like, that's such a cool song, and I'm like 6 or 7. So I guess I just dated myself. So, Reb, if you could just focus on the Air America I'm going to give you till the breaks, the next break. So you got a few minutes. So, try to just stay focused on Air America if you can. All right.
Okay. Bob Landreth, he just answers the phone. He's the chief systems engineer over at Lockheed Martin's JRB Dobbins, Georgia. And he told me top secret stuff about the AC-130. Now they don't have, according to the people in Cape Canaveral, they don't have what he was a flight engineer. They don't have that anymore in the C-130J. That's what team
Reb,
Cape Canaveral.
Reb, yeah. Reb, can you explain what Air America was, though? I mean,
okay.
I'm just
CIA operation all over the world, and it was transporting contraband everywhere. Because he sent us files. Bob sent me files from the University of Texas on their, well, it's mostly about their dope running from the Parrot's Beak over in Cambodia with Khun Sa. That was the warlord who, he got along with the VC. Why they let him operate, I don't know. But it was up near that Quang Tri, you know, not Quang Tri, the other one, the Trang. No, that was the coast. It was Long Binh. It was up there at the top of the Vietnam where the Mekong is and Cambodia. And that's where their operations. And, of course, South America with cocaine and everything. Bubba knows this better than me. And she's an expert on the dope running. But the files I couldn't open, so I sent them to the team at Cape Canaveral. And he said, funny thing, when he sent me those files, they disappeared from his sent mail and inbox. Because, see, I didn't know he was CIA. He said in Korea he was Army Aviation, and then he went to a flight school in Florida. That Bob Landreth is from Florida. And somebody hired him from a library in Langley, Virginia. He just come out there. And then he was what they called the flight engineer on the old C-130. He went around the world, but he was in Vietnam twice. I thought he was Air Force. Said he got wounded in the 68th offensive. He was there. And they knew it was coming. But there was to transport dope in the... Yeah, that's all it was, a dope war. Everybody knows it. And filling up. And they had to get the troops doped up towards the end of it because Nixon was figuring out a way how to surrender. And they weren't going to get to fight. And they folded the air cavalry at the end of 71, cleared out of there. And then the other units they would call Vietnamization. But this Landreth, he got wounded, and he didn't know. He still had pieces in him. He said back in 2012 he had an operation. There was still stuff stuck in him. He didn't know about that till the doctor looked at it. And he ran the flight engineering, and they went around the world. So I didn't get those files. The people at Cape Canaveral opened them from the University of Texas about all their dope running. So if that's what you wanted to hear, he told me. I thought he was Air Force. He said, no, he's never in the... Because he says he was there in Vietnam, 68, and back again in 70. I thought, well, the Air Force takes... they do their turn in Vietnam at Tonsonu, the main Air Force base. But that's what it was, a drug-running operation. Every 2 years, he says, he has to meet at an undisclosed location. And he lived up in the North Georgia woods, north of the Marietta there, towards, you know, about 60 miles, he said, up north of that JRB. I've been there before. It's got the AC-130, but it's the updated models now in the last few years, the J model. And the people...
Well, remind me who you're talking about again, Reb.
This is Air America, their dope-dealing operations for the Central Intelligence.
The person you're talking about.
Say again?
The person you're referring to that you're talking about.
Oh, he was the chief systems engineer for Lockheed Martin. He got that job. He was telling me about how he dealt with his clients and stuff because they were blacklining us. A lot of our documents have been blacklined. I said, what are they doing that for? Well, sometimes even he does that to some clients so they can't understand. Some things they leave out, they don't want them to read. He just knows all that stuff, CIA stuff. And we were started by Defense Intelligence, so we could understand. He knows their operation, too. But when you said about guns, this was
Reb. Reb, I thank you for calling in, Reb. I got to move on now, but
you are tuned in. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Get into something else right now. I want to go back to the inclusive capitalism. We've been distracted with AC-130 videos over here. And so let me jump back over here. And if you guys are able to, I'm going to ask Mike to put this in the newsreel, but there's this Rothschild, and I was talking about this last night with Jeremy, So Rothschild wants a merger between corporations, governments, and AI to save capitalism. And there's their propaganda video in there. So what I'm going to do is play the propaganda video. I'm actually playing the video myself, and I'm going to stop and go. It's got a series of different supporters or whatever, you know, proponents of this nightmare that the Rothschild dynasty is trying to superimpose onto the rest of the world. So I'm going to stop and go, and I'm going to add my comments. But the first thing that happens here is the music, right? So let me read you the first paragraph of the article out of Activist Post. It's a really great article. If you're not familiar with the little organization called the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, don't worry, most people have never heard of it. The group was formed at the height of the COVID pandemic. what a coincidence. As fear instilled by government officials and the media propagated the news feeds, the majority of the public was rather distracted, of course, just like when they were finishing up installing 5G all over little kids' schools, you know? Remember that? The CIC is essentially everything that conspiracy theorists have been warning about for years, packaged into a single Orwellian entity, complete with dramatic piano music and a mask of humanitarian philanthropy. So let me play the piano music for you. And they have to play their little piano music. And I went in, so here it is.
È necessario urgente un sistema economico giusto, affidabile.
Okay, so before we listen to the Pope, the satanic Pope drone on about his support for it, let me just do a little breakdown musically for you guys. All right, I got my guitar here, and so that was basically it. Started out in minor, started out in F sharp minor. Then it switches to the major chord, D, which is a happy chord. The minor is a sad chord, and D is a happy chord. Then it goes to the relative major to in the first chord, the F sharp minor, and finishes off with an E. Now that chord progression is pretty powerful, right? It manipulates your emotions, so. Let me give you one more little taste of what they. Okay, hold on one second. Oh, of course. All right. So, the Jews are coming for you. What are you gonna do? Taking all your money, killing everybody too. All right, so now you have something else to contrast their dangerous and horrible, hateful propaganda with, right? So you have another little tune you can think about that go along with this this music that they're layering over the top of their slather that they're trying to. That you're about to listen to, so we're going to go through it.
Okay. Un sistema economico giusto, affidabile, e in grado di rispondere alle sfide più.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me read what. Affidabile. An economic system that is fair, capable of addressing the most profound challenges facing humanity and our planet.
We are answering Pope Francis's challenge.
Okay, so now here's Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. Now, if you guys pull up the link, you can follow along with me. It'll be a little more enjoyable. But I'm going to stop and go. You know, we got the speaking. This is Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. Okay, this is this woman is really hard to watch because you can see that she has a serpent within her, and that serpent definitely is very apparent on the outside. Okay, let's let her speak.
To create more inclusive economy that spread the benefit of capitalism. More equitably, and allow individuals to realize their full potential.
Really? Oh, it's not. Okay, yeah, that wasn't the greatest. It was actually pretty terrible audio. This should be better. Let's see what happens here. Okay. capitalism has lifted billions out of poverty.
The majority of people around the world say that they think their families will be worse off in 5 years. That's a scenario that we simply can't accept.
Oh, that we simply can't accept what people say they think is going to happen in 5 years. So we need to go and interfere. This is the Jewish way. We go interfere in everything, and we meddle, and we don't do it for, you know, the benefit of everyone else. We do it for the benefit of ourselves. Okay. And so now, oh my God. So now we got Daryl Walker about to come in here. And I mean, this guy, just listen to the tone of his voice. You just see the way his eyes look while he's looking at, you know, forcing this crap down our throats. Daryl Walker from the Ford Foundation is a homosexual, I don't know, Mexican or something. But yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Call out him out for being a homosexual Mexican? Yeah, they'll throw you in prison, right? So, or if you even disagree with what he says, you're a homophobic, xenophobic. Anti-Semite. Might as well just throw in anti-Semite too.
Too much wealth has accreted to too few people.
If you hear the tone of his voice? Too much wealth, Whitey, has accumulated to too few people. Now, they're definitely not talking about the wealth of their cronies up in their... I mean, this guy's part of the Rockefeller Foundation. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. This guy, I mean, it's just these talking heads, you know, that are going to preach to the middle America. And that's not really who they're trying to convince here. That this is propaganda for middle America, okay? For you and me. Right here.
You make money. What's the point if you're not prepared to share it? If the people who help make that wealth for you can't live with dignity.
It's inclusive.
Oh, so... They need to decide who you give to, right? Because, you know, it's not up to you whether or not you're going to be charitable with your money, right? You probably don't even have enough to, you know, pay your bills anyway. But this woman's going to come in and they're going to take even more. It's not like you haven't been taxed enough already. It's not like your mortgage payment where you don't even hardly pay into your equity, especially now that they've jacked up income or interest rates. Your mortgage payment, your income tax. By the time they've filched and leached everything off of you, how much you got left? I mean, they take this is after taxes. They're taking your money for mortgage and usury. You know. Okay, so let's go on to the next person. By the way, woman's name was Sharon Burrow. I don't know who that is. Okay, now this guy Brian Moynihan. He's the CEO of this isn't Brian Moynihan.
Give me some. This is capitalism, though, and we have to recognize.
Okay, this is Mark Carney, the financial advisor to the Prime Minister, UN Special Envoy for Climate Action and Finance. Okay, so he's full of crap, and let's just start him okay.
With dignity.
It's inclusive capitalism, though, and we have to recognize that starting from where we are to where we need to get to, we need to bring everyone along, and there will be adjustments that come with that.
There will be adjustments that come with that, right? Oh, you're gonna have to adjust. Like you can't have your truck anymore. You know, you can't have your air conditioning anymore. You're using too much electricity. You're using your light, leaving your lights on. We're gonna have to micromanage your usage. Anyway. All right, move on to the next one.
Do need the private sector's ingenuity.
All right, this is AJ Banga, MasterCard chairman and board and CEO. He's got a turban on, or he looks like a Hindu from India for sure. He's got the, I don't know if that's but it's the black turban thing. It's not Muslim, but it's Hindu.
Capital, technology, people, everything. Their passion to come to the party.
We want to...
Passion. So they want passion from capitalism and the government. They all got to come together with their passion. Okay? And basically consolidate power. Now this guy that's coming on now is He's like a tweeny, nerdy, like, you know, like very effeminate white man that's perfect for them. Here we go. He's got a high-pitched voice, and he's probably gay. Oh, okay.
Operate in a sustainable way, where incentives are aligned across generations, not just across quarters, and the main actors take a long-term perspective.
Aligning.
Wow, that just sounds... Wow, does not just sound wonderful. It's just like this little gobbledygook language that is sounds great. And as long as you play over it, then who's not going to buy into that? Consensus. Okay, so this next guy right here, this is hilarious. The guy is literally reading from a script. You can see his eyes moving back and forth. Now, some of these people, now talk about the Bible, the mark. Some of these people take the mark on their forehead. Some of these people take it on their hand. Okay? And the ones that take it on their hand are this guy, one who's just reading off the script. He doesn't really believe in it. So, but you got like Darryl Walker. That guy's got the mark in his forehead, straight, just branded right in there, right into his forehead. So you're going to be able to make these distinctions here. Let's listen to this guy who's literally, his eyes are moving back and forth as he's talking. Let's see.
Our innovation with the UN system.
His name is Edward Breen, DuPont Executive Chairman.
Sustainable Development Goals and the priorities and sustainable development goals.
From perspective.
Hold on, aligning our innovation with the UN Sustainable Development Goals and the priorities of inclusive capitalism is both a business and sustainability imperative.
I mean, you can tell just listening, right? That he's this, he's just, he's reading it from the thing, he's reading it off of the screen. It's just, it's great. I'm glad that they that happened. Now we're looking at a picture of all these creepy people standing in some room. It's the Pope in the back, and then it's there's like a black Pope behind, next to him, and then Rothschild standing next to the Pope. I mean, how arrogant can they be in the face of God, right? The satanic Pope with Linda Rothschild and everybody, creepily meddling and trying to sell us this this nonsense they're trying to sell us. You know, that's this merger of corporations and the government. You know, it's never been done before. We're trying, it's unprecedented. Okay, let's continue.
Two reasons, I think, why I say concrete commitments to inclusive capitalism matter.
Oh, you hear the violin now? This is the violin. Put the violin in there. Really going to get you with that, right? This is Bernard Looney. He certainly probably is one.
The first, and not to be underestimated, really important, is they can inspire other people. The second thing that I would say around concrete public commitments is they can help build trust, lead.
Oh, I would say that guy's got the mark straight branded in his forehead. He really seemed passionate about what he was saying, you know? He really believes in it. Or, I mean, he could just be deceived, right? Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he thinks it's all good. Maybe he's not actually evil. Well, I think you still got the mark branded right into your forehead. It doesn't really matter, you know? You either take it or you don't.
Leaders in the business community can be a unifying force. They can be a source of opportunity. They can be a source of understanding. So we as business leaders can step up and solve many of these economic problems. I think that...
Whoa. We as business leaders can step up and solve many of these economic problems, such as like that whole freedom thing, that whole right to privacy thing, that whole you can't buy or sell unless you say the things and you believe, you post something we don't like. Step up and be leaders. Okay.
Business plays a very important role in resolving these challenges. I think businesses have to become part of the solution.
through leadership by example and through leadership by incentives.
Vision and purpose, it says.
We are stewards.
Okay, so now here's Lynn Forrester Rothschild. She starts out, she's got her hands sticking out in front of her with all her fingers spread apart, like she's holding on to a ball, okay? This is what they do. They'll put their hands parallel to each other, and they'll explain something like it's in this box. Okay, this thing that I'm explaining is in a box right here, okay? All right, so this is what Lynn... Okay, so let's go.
...of this earth. It's our duty to keep it clean and to keep it decent for future generations.
Well, what's she mean? What does that mean, right? Because we were flying through the sky on a drone, looking at the trees, looking at the wildlands. Ooh, is it the Wildlands Project, okay? You are not allowed to go into all these different areas because these areas are only... for the chicken swingers. That's the Wildlands Project. That's another. Probably do a whole show on that. I probably should do a show on the Wildlands Project. So that's all part of Agenda 21. And everybody's moved out of the rural areas and into the smart cities. This is all about the social responsibility that these people like to foist on to the rest of us. Yeah, here comes somebody else, African somebody.
To embark on this.
Peter K.A. Turkson.
Journey.
Cardinal of the Catholic Church and Prefect and Council Protector. Let me go back.
Future generations
are wanting to embark on this journey to provide the guidance and the assistance of the Church's own social thought and whatever other consideration might be necessary. You know, or the ethical or, you know, their social guidance, so that this group that has, you know, taken up such a noble task of making capitalism work for the good of humanity, achieve its goal and land on target. So this is our vision. This is our purpose. Look.
And then they had a nice little picture of, like, you know, green little sprouts coming up out of the ground, a big giant manufacturing carrots. And this, I don't know. I think you guys get it. I'm beating it. But we'll be done in a second. Here's the, you know, the Sikh Indian guy again.
The fact that different religions need to come together on all matters is just the crying need of...
Okay, now here's the Kabbalah, okay? This is the whole thing with the Jewish religion wanting to consolidate, using all the different religions. You know, this is all like Tex Mars has done some good books on this. You know, you have the Catholic Church has in San Francisco has this room in there that has, it's like the room of all religions room or something like that, right? All faith room. Or something. I forgot what it's called. Anyway, so they just, yeah. Here, let this guy go.
The times in our world, faith cannot be used to pull us apart. Faith is meant to bring us together. And the fact that I'm a Sikh and somebody else is a different religion, to me, doesn't matter our word.
Yeah, it really actually does matter. And man, you should see this jerk, this the face of this Daryl Walker. I mean, the nerve of this pile of crap. I mean, how dare you look at me like this and try to force this down my throat? I mean, screw you, buddy. I mean, really, get out of my face with your disgusting forcing. I hope you end up frustrated and don't get what you want, because I don't care what you want. I just want you out of my life, and don't meddle in my affairs. Leave me alone. I'm already all set. I don't cause any problems. I'm not the one responsible for all the damage that you're doing. I mean, geez, okay. So let's go ahead and let him finish. But this guy really makes my skin crawl. This Daryl Walker guy.
Work is indeed about social justice, which is rooted in the gospel. The idea that every person deserves to live in a just society.
Yeah, Whitey. So how dare you try to have your own, you know, how dare you gravitate towards your own people and establish high trust societies amongst yourselves where you're bothering absolutely nobody and you're already bending over backwards for other races and always so careful about never being racist or anything like that. That's not good enough for Daryl Walker from the Ford Foundation, Rockefeller, little Rockefeller tool, who is like not happy enough with it. He's very angry with you. He's very angry with you for being white. And, you need to, so he's getting pissed off and it's like, you're not getting it fast enough, Whitey. So, let's listen to him one more time. I know it's like kind of rough, but let me get back to it.
About social justice, which is rooted in the gospel. The idea.
You believe this guy has the nerve to say it's rooted in the gospel? I mean, no, there's been this discussion about whether Christianity and socialism are the same thing. No, absolutely not. Because socialism worships a government, a state. Christianity worships God. All right. Well, the Christianity of today, I know that Christian Zionism is an apostasy and it's completely pervaded the church. True Christianity is what I'm referring to. You know, God, the government being God, right? Natural law, where natural law comes from, where our rights are derived from. Screw this guy. This guy thinks that we have to give up all our rights, and he's just this supremacist. This guy's a supremacist. He's a racist supremacist. Yeah, that's what he is. Daryl Walker. So we're at the end of the show, I think. Getting close here. We're closing in on it. Let me take Joe in Florida. Joe, welcome.
Hey, yeah. Hey, listen, William, I have to tell you, when I heard that you were released from being held hostage by the Rothschilds tonight, I felt like I was watching one of these Israeli hostages that was released, you know, that were being held by Hamas. I mean, I felt so terrible for some of these Israeli women. I heard that they actually missed 4 yoga classes and a couple of dance parties when they were held by Hamas. That's what I felt like, because the other night it was terrible. They forced you to listen to that show. I heard it was just out of control. I know, a rabbi from Brooklyn even called in. I mean, it was terrible, but all I can say is thank God you got out alive.
Yeah. I know. I don't know. It's happened before. Like, you know, you've seen, like, my show's been interrupted before. Vladimir.
Unbelievable.
Whatever.
Yeah. And so I'm just glad you're back. The last thing I'll say is you're 100% right. Hey, listen, as a Catholic, you know, there's a lot of Catholics that are very sick and tired of this Pope. He's totally controlled by these Jews that run the Jesuits. I mean, the Jesuits are taking millions of dollars from Soros. So, you know, don't be surprised. Thanks.
I know. Thanks, Joe. All right. All right, everybody. Happy Friday, and have a great weekend. I think we're at the end of the show. I hear music. So, we'll talk to you later.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease Off Drop and Lift?
What in the world is an Ease Off Drop and Lift?
Our Ease Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.